It's that time on a Thursday. We turn our attention north, find his work for Comcast Sportsnet in Portland online, CSNNW.com. He's talking Ducks and more with the guys on Comcast Channel 737 on the Tube. And of course, you can follow along on Twitter using the handle at Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, how are you?
Man, I almost got my first birdie today.
Ah! What was the weather like?
Just a little drizzly. On and three, about beautiful. Oh, my God, I was like 8 feet away, and I missed the putt by less than an inch. It rolled right by the hole by like literally another half inch to the left. It goes in.
You see,
but I got par to par five, which I think was my first par to par five, maybe ever.
See,
I'm having bogeys, but
see what you haven't learned yet, because you've got kids, so I'm not saying you have a job, you deal with people, you've got aggravation, but there's aggravation, and then there's golf aggravation, which I've been experiencing for now 42 years. It's a whole nother level, I'm telling you.
I'm slowly getting there, because it's funny, because I was all mad. My wife was like, dude, you just par to par five. I go, I know, but I could have had a birdie. Dude, you had a, she goes, she's like, dude, you had an eight on number one. I go, oh, yeah.
No, and by the way, you'll find those days where you're like, you're struggling, you're not playing well, and then on 17, you know, you'll crease a 182-yard shot, make it on the green, and you'll be like, oh, I got it, and you're going back again. It hooks you. It's beautiful. I know this is kind of offbeat, but, you know, gauging your age, this ESPN 30 for 30 about the Lakers and the Celtics, I only caught part one. It's awesome. I'm kind of curious. I know once the 90s kicked in, it was a little more Fentress time. I know you remember the 85 Bears a little bit, but
No. I'm knee-deep in the Lakers-Celtics.
Oh, okay. All right.
I was sophomore in high school when they played in 84. And I'm a huge Magic fan. Magic's my favorite player, actually, even more so than Jordan. Magic's my single favorite player.
All right.
Yeah, I love me some Magic Johnson. I had tears in my eyes at 84 series, and they lost that game 7 to the Celtics. So this is right in my wheelhouse. And the best part about it is that, you know, at the time, I just hated Boston. Hated Larry Bird, wanted to kick him in the face. Danny Ainge, wanted him arrested. Dennis Johnson, what was wrong with him? You know, Parrish and McHale, just all dirty and elbows. Oh, I just hated those guys. But over the years, like, and I think it's because Magic and Bird became friends.
Sure.
Like, I developed a fondness for them because of what they brought to the table to create what was, you know, arguably the greatest NBA rivalry ever, if not at least in the last 30 years. I mean, in terms of just that group. I mean, we all know Celtics-Lakers goes back way before that.
Sure.
But that group in the modern era is the greatest single rivalry I think we've seen. Wouldn't you agree?
No, I don't even think it's close. Well, obviously, me being a diehard New York fan, I've hated the Celtics like poison since I could walk. And,
right.
And it actually traces to, like, the 1973 East Finals when I was 12 just cursing at Dave Cowens. First time I ever got away with cursing in front of my dad. So I know where I'm coming from. I'm curious, why did you saw? I mean, was it strictly Magic, or was there a reason you hated the Celtics, which naturally, of course, I'm in favor of?
Oh, no. I mean, I was a Magic guy, so I loved Magic. Of course, their style was fun. And then, you know, Boston was the, you know, the team across the country that was sort of the opposite. They were more slow and plodding, and it just had the great contrasting styles. And I just loved Magic. And then when they played in 84, the Lakers were like heavy favorites
yep.
in that series. And they lost game one. No, they won game one, and they choked two. Then they won three in blowout. Then the McHale knocking Rammus on his butt in game four, and they stole game four. And then they went home in 110-degree heat in game five, and they won. And then they came back to L.A., and L.A. actually was down 10 at one point and won that game. And then they go game seven in Boston. It was just such a great back-and-forth series. And when they lost, I literally had tears in my eyes. And they came back the next year, and they won. That was one of the happiest moments of my life when they beat them, when the Lakers came back and beat them the next year. But also, here's another funny story. So my mom, when I graduated high school in 86, my mom was living in Arizona. I was living in Portland. My mom moved to Boston.
Oh.
So the summer of 86, 6, I go to visit her that summer. And that was the year the Lakers lost to Houston, and Boston ended up beating Houston.
Yep.
But I went to a local park in Malden, Massachusetts to play basketball in an all-yellow Lakers sweatsuit with Magic Johnson shoes looking for trouble. It was almost like gang warfare. I was looking for trouble, waiting for someone to come to the park. And, dude, people came to the park and looked at me like I was an alien. Literally, they were like, that guy lost.
He's
like 3,000 miles too far to the east. And then people were like, dude, what are you wearing? I'm like, I'm representing the Lakers and Magic. Yeah, they just lost Houston. Ha ha. I'm like, oh, yeah, well, they beat the Celtics last year. And then we would just play and just have so much fun. I became, like, best buds that summer with all these Celtics fans. And they respected. They were like, you know what? I give you respect, man. It takes a lot of guts to come up in here wearing that garbage.
Yeah, but as you well know, there's a fine line between brains and brawn and character.
Right, exactly.
Well, wait a minute. Let me. If memory serves, Magic sported the Converse back in the day, right?
Right. I was rocking the purple and gold Johnson Converse.
Awesome. And by
I actually bought a pair. I found a pair. I guess they were like a remake retro pair. A few years ago, and I actually have a pair somewhere in my, I think about like 10 years ago, I've never worn them, but yeah. No, I was rocking it, dude. It was awesome.
And let's not forget that maybe the best thing about the 85 title was for the first time ever winning
at Boston Garden. Kareem was the MVP.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I'll never forget that era. That was awesome. So when I saw 30 for 30 was coming on, I was like, oh, my God. And now I don't know what to do with myself. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. It's 5 hours, right?
Yeah, it's a multi-parter. I've got it all set to record. Someday I'm just going to kick my family out, the dogs outside, and I'm just going to hunker down with a big bottle of wine, and I'm just going to sit there and cry.
Exactly. I don't know what to do with myself. Did you watch the, I think it was Showtime or HBO special on Magic and Bird?
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was awesome. And the best part of that was when they filmed the Converse commercial. Well, they both had Converse. They filmed the Converse commercial where, you've seen that one, right? Magic pulls up in limbo and Fresh and Lick, right? And just hearing stories about, you know, Bird's mom inviting Magic in to eat, and she's throwing food at him and making him eat, and she was real nice to Magic, and Bird and Magic were kind of like breaking the ice between them, and they realized, wow, you know, we're the same guy, just different styles, different races, but we're the same guy, the same competitor, the same team player. All you want to do is win, help your teammates be better. We're the exact same person from two different worlds, and that was awesome.
Yeah, I concocted a theory about, you know, beyond the basketball, which was fantastic, but timing sometimes plays a role. So Magic and
definitely.
Bird play in the NCAA Finals in 79.
Yep.
Six months later, something called ESPN is born, and then they join the NBA. So the spotlight also, it was like literally once upon a time, you know, people on the East Coast and West Coast might have been aware of it, but now every single solitary person who followed sports is going home and watching SportsCenter. So it was just, it tied in. It was a beautiful thing.
Exactly, exactly.
Awesome. Continue with Aaron Fentress, Comcast SportsNet. So as far as that, this Golden State team, I know you're thrilled with Durant having left Oklahoma City for them. So 67 regular season wins, 16-1. I'm one of these people. It's like, look, I'm not having the conversation with them as the 96 Bulls, 85 Lakers, 72 Lakers, 86 Celtics. But among the other champs we've seen, where do we rate them?
I mean, they're
begrudgingly.
They're almost unfair. Like, I really kind of tuned out this season, and I just think the NBA model is broken because we all know that in no sport does a singular player have more of an impact than in basketball. It's just the nature of the sport. One guy can change everything. And for them to win 73 last year, and yes, they didn't win the finals, but they won 73 games, and then to add a top three player when you already have a top three player, it's not right. So clearly, they're one of the best teams ever. There's like no doubt about that. They have to be, just by the sheer fact that their talent level is just off the charts, insane. I mean, the only time Magic, Kareem, you know, and Worthy, that compares. I still think it's better. I never think it's better. But it's not right for me. Like, it just rings wrong. There's no way Durant should have left Oklahoma City after you had Golden State beat, and then you run to them. It's just, to me, it's so cheesy and chicken bleep. And I had no, like, I felt nothing for him when he won the title. I'm like, this is just gross. His mom, he's like, you did it, baby. I'm like, yeah, he did it. He went to a place where he was guaranteed to win it. Like, the only way they weren't going to win it is if someone got injured. There was no way they weren't going to win the title. It was impossible. They had no resistance in the West because you eliminated the best competition you had by taking their best player and adding them to your team. And Cleveland couldn't match up. So it's like, it's just hollow to me. But clearly they're one of the greatest teams ever because they're just stacked beyond belief. And I keep saying to people, this would be like if Charles Barkley, after losing to the Bulls in 93, went and joined the Bulls. You know? Or if, I'm serious, or if, I mean, or if Ewing said, man, I'm tired of losing to the Bulls in the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm going to join the Bulls. It would be the exact, it's the exact same thing. And that team would be, that team would win 80 games. Could you imagine the Bulls with Ewing? Ewing, Rodman, Pippen, and Jordan, me, you, off the bench. You're coming off the bench. I'm starting.
Well,
win the title.
Well, first of all,
I'm not even joking. We win the title. So it's hard for me to put in perspective because I just don't respect it because it should have never happened. Does that make sense?
Well, first of all, if Ewing left the Knicks for the Bulls, I'd have spent the whole year curled up in a ball in the corner. So I wouldn't be able to chime in on that.
Ooh, I guess that was a bad example. I should have brought that one up.
Oh, man. All right.
But here's the funny thing. So what's Cleveland's response going to be? Like, you know LeBron's right now figuring out, what can I do? Like,
I
could totally see LeBron trying to figure out, okay, I will cut my salary in half. You know, let's bring me Chris Paul and Paul George and Anthony Davis, and we'll bring Paul Millsap off the bench, and give me T.J. McCollum. I mean, you know, LeBron's not going to play the next 3 years and never have a chance to win it. He's going to go out and try and recreate another super team to try and beat the other super team.
Wow, we're going to fall into a trap where there's 2 and 28. It's going to be ridiculous.
Exactly.
So let's talk about LeBron here.
I like LeBron. I don't like his fans.
That's perfect. So I didn't realize, but his numbers, what he averaged in the finals, 34, 12, and 10, that was the best five-game stretch of his career. So as the Portland director of Jordan Legacy Protection, what do you make of his play? And, you know, when people bash him for this loss, what's your reaction?
No, I give LeBron a pass for the first sweep for the Spurs. They had no business being in the finals. The East was horrible. I did not hold that against him. I give him a semi-pass for losing to San Antonio a second time because Wade was hurt, although I think LeBron could have done more in that series. I gave him a pass a couple years ago when Kyrie and Love were out, you know?
Yep.
And I give him a pass this year because they had no chance to win against that ridiculous team. There was just no way they were going to win this series. He played amazingly, but, you know, game three, classic LeBron, you have a chance to get a victory right there. This series should be going on right now. I think it should have been a game six last night, maybe, or tonight, or tomorrow, had he not faded in the last 3 minutes of game four. And that's my only thing with LeBron. He can fill up a stat sheet, but he has disappeared in key moments in his career and cost him championships, most famously the Dallas series. He averaged 17 points a game in that series. He's a career 27 scorer, averaged 17 in that series. Why? He melted down. So that's my thing against him over Jordan, because Jordan never melted down.
No.
Now, he had bad games, but he never melted down to lose a series. Now, the stat thing Jordan fans love to bring up, and you know, the assists and rebounds. Okay, first of all, Jordan was a guard. Guards typically don't rebound as much as forwards. And the assisting is choice. If Jordan at any point in his career said, I'm going to average a triple-double, he would average a triple-double. And if anyone says he wouldn't have, I'll just point to Russell Westbrook and James Harden. James Harden just averaged 28, 12, and 8. Are you telling me James Harden's better? No, he's not better. Are you telling me Westbrook's better than Jordan? No, it's about choice and what you need. Jordan didn't need to average 7-8 assists. He didn't need to get 7-8 rebounds a game. That wasn't what he was needed to do. But when he was asked to do that in certain series or certain games, he went out and did it. He averaged 11 assists against the Lakers in 91. Why? Because the way they were playing him lent itself to him kicking it out a lot to Paxton and other people, and he averaged 11 assists. So that doesn't mean anything to me. My thing, statistically, all the great players can do whatever they want, whenever they want. Magic could average more points. LeBron could score more points. All these guys could do whatever they want, whenever they want. It's what you do when it counts the most, winning time. And Jordan was the greatest killer ever. That guy closed the deal. He never won seven in the finals. He won six championships. End of story.
All right. Let's
And scene.
Nice, the director's cut we get here. A couple final thoughts for Aaron Fentress of Comcast Sportsnet. We've got to introduce our new segment, and we know people on Twitter are insane, and I don't know why you seem to attract more than most. So
I engage like a moron.
So if you scroll through your feed, what would stand out as the craziest Twitter interaction of the past week?
Well, I've been going at it with LeBron fans, and one of the things that trips me out is how they disparage everyone from the 80s and 90s. Everyone from the 80s and 90s was garbage. Everyone today is amazing. And one of the things people are throwing out there is that, oh, well, Jordan beat an old Stockton and Malone. They were 34-35 when he beat them. Well, Jordan was 34, you know, so you can't really bring that up. Plus, then they say, oh, well, Duncan was in his prime. No, Duncan was 36-37 when he played LeBron. And Ginobili was 35-36. So that's one of the examples of the misnomers out there that LeBron fans try to create in this comparison game. They clearly don't know history. Like, they're in their 20s, early 20s. They just don't know the 80s or 90s. They disparage it. But the most craziest thing I got last week was this. Some guy said to me, well, I thought it was a guy. His name was Omar. He said, you love Jordan so much, you should go blank, blank, perform a sex act on him. Sex act on Jordan, right? So I'm like, whoa, okay, that's over the top. So then I look at his profile, and he has two pictures of Damian Lillard as his avatar. And I'm like, wait a minute, this from a guy whose avatars aren't even of him, they're of another person? And you're telling me that I love Jordan so much I should go have sex with him? I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. You're kind of being a hypocrite. And they come back with, first of all, I'm not a guy, I'm a girl, and I'm offended.
Whoa! And I'm
like, right, and I go, oh, okay, well, all right, I was kind of like didn't think anything of it. I'm like, well, it still applies. Either way, it applies, you know. And so then they sent a text or a tweet to me and CSNNW.com, and it says that she accused me of making fun of her gender. Now, how did I make fun of her?
Wow!
Gender? I didn't know that her name Omar was a woman. You don't have anything in there that says you're a woman. I assumed Omar was a guy. My bad. I still believe it was. I think this person was lying. But anyway, they said to CSNNW, you have someone working with you for you who makes fun of people's genders. How can you allow this? And I just was like, okay, so now we're going to go to the try to get me in trouble card. So I just retweeted back to them. I said, you just told me to go have sex with Michael Jordan, and now you're pretending to be offended because I thought Omar was a guy's name? I'm like, get real. And then they blocked me.
Well, congratulations. That qualifies as a crazy tweet.
Is that insane?
Oh, man. First of all, I always wonder how these people have this kind of time on their hands to come up with this crap. Because it's like, I could get angry, I could engage, but to get that deep into it, especially with somebody I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
It's exhausting.
All the youngest throw out all sorts of crazy, obscene things to me. They call me all sorts of names, like profanity, and just, it's like, dude, we're debating who's better, Michael Jordan or LeBron. None of us know them. They're not our family members. They're not paying our salaries. They're not giving us money. You're not hanging out with them. It's a basketball debate. Why are you taken to a level where you're, like, calling me profane names and telling me to go have, you know, sexual acts with somebody? It's just immaturity, and it also is the bravado that social media gives people. Everyone's a tough guy behind social media.
Yeah, an anonymous tough guy.
Exactly.
All right. I was going to get into the Mayweather and McGregor fight.
Oh, we'll save that for next week. We need to do a whole segment on that one.
Okay, no, because I've got some funny stuff we've come up with as well. All right, Mr. Fentress, okay. Great stuff as always. Be safe from the Twitter knuckleheads, and enjoy your weekend.
Hey, they need to start a Twitter anonymous program so I can join it. I've got to figure out a way to stop engaging with people who I clearly know I'm smarter than.
Must not hit send.
Exactly.
Have a great weekend, man. We'll talk soon.
All right, buddy.
Take care.